In this mindful swim meditation, I would like to talk about using swimming as meditation. So just going back to kind of the basics of how we would actually engage in a form of meditation while we're swimming, instead of just assuming that everybody understands what that means. Now, if you were to do sitting meditation, all the ones that I've experienced and I've heard about often use the breath as the point of attention, the focal point for attention. So it's an action, your body's doing something, but it's doing something without you having to make it happen, because the breath happens automatically. And so it's always with you, goes with you wherever you go. So it's very convenient as an object. There's nothing special about it in itself. There's nothing that makes it more powerful other than the fact that it's completely automatic and it's completely portable. So you don't have to bring anything extra with you or make anything happen. So when you do breathing meditation, the idea that I'm familiar with, the basic skills that you're practicing at the beginning, is to bring your attention back to the breath. Now notice I didn't say hold your attention on the breath. I mean, you are trying to hold your attention on the action of breathing in your body, but your ability to do that for longer and longer, uninterrupted, undistracted periods of time comes later. The foremost skill, the primary skill, the one that you need first, is just simply noticing when your attention leaves, or noticing that your attention has already left the breath and it's off somewhere else. Your mind is wandering or thinking about something else on the body than what you had originally intended, or some other imagination. The second skill that goes along with that is, as you bring your attention, bringing your attention back is number two. Noticing that you're off attention is number one. Bringing your attention back is number two. And then number three is practicing letting go of having any emotional reaction to the awareness that you've lost attention and to the effort of bringing it back onto your breath. So remaining emotionally neutral, or more specifically, remaining judgment neutral. So yes, you intended to hold your attention on the breath, and it failed, and it will fail. Far as I can tell, all the experienced meditators that I've listened to or followed, they all claim that they're losing attention from, if not often, at least from time to time. So it's happening to everybody. The thing here is to have no negative reaction to it. Just to simply observe, oh, my attention left. This is where it's at now. And oh, that's right. I'm supposed to be paying attention to the breath. And then you bring it back. And there's something happening here that I just read about in another book called Endure by Alex Hutchinson. They're talking about a concept in there that elite athletes or that develop in response to discomfort and pain and the things associated with high effort. It's called response inhibition. So they are able to make an observation that the body is producing signals and sensations, and instead of feeling frightened or frustrated or worried that they're getting near the edge of some sort of danger, they just notice it, that it's information, and they make a decision to keep on going regardless of that signal, or to make an adjustment according to the signal, but having basically no emotional reaction to it. It's not like, oh, look at how awesome I am, or oh, look at how terrible I am, I can't hold my attention. There's just none of that. It's like, oh, my attention is off, bring it back. Oh, my attention is off, let's bring it back. So it's just this neutrality, this non-judgmentalism action of non-judgment towards yourself, and whether you are failing or succeeding. Because the very act of making a judgment is taking you out of the sensory observation mode. The moment you start engaging in an emotional reaction, entertaining it, wallowing in it, stirring it up, talking to yourself, you've just popped out of your sensory observation mode. So not only is it staying emotionally neutral, the point is what's happening inside the brain is that you're keeping or returning your brain to an activation state, or having parts of the brain activated that are more effective at helping you regulate body states and staying and learning how to pull out of or stay away from those brain states or parts of the brain being activated that keep you caught up in an emotional reaction, which uses up more energy that you don't need to spend on that. Okay, so that's a little background on what's happening in the brain. So if we come back to meditation, sitting meditation, you're observing your breath, your mind wanders, you don't notice it at first, then you're like, oh yeah, I'm out here thinking about something else, what do you know? And then you say, oh, what am I supposed to, oh yeah, that's right, breathing, I'm focused on my belly button, coming in and going out, coming in and going out. So you just bring your attention back there. Also, if you have an emotional reaction, like, oh, dang it, I'm not very good, this is so hard today, I'm not very good at this, this is a thing, you just like, oh, I'm having an emotional reaction. I'm feeling judgmental feelings towards myself. And you just step back from those feelings. There's different ways that people try to describe it. Letting go, or not giving any energy to it, not entertaining it, not interacting with it, not just refraining from the dialogue, just quit talking to yourself. But you're not in denial that you're having an emotional reaction. You're not pretending that it didn't occur. It's just like, oh, I feel changes in my body. I feel a change in my brain. I feel a tightness in this my chest somewhere. Oh, look at bodily sensations. Those that tend to come up when I'm having a negative feeling. And you just make an observation, kind of like a scientist would. And then you just, when you're able, you just turn back to your breathing and let go of all that and bring your attention back. And your brain will shift. Your brain will calm down. It takes a little bit for it to dissipate, because emotions are electrochemical reactions going on in your brain. Once one of those is triggered, there's a flush of chemicals that shoot into the brain that start interacting with it, and it doesn't instantly turn off, even if you've stopped engaging and triggering it. It takes a little time for those chemicals to just be used up or to be eliminated from the system or processed. So you've got to also be patient and let your attention come back, and before you know it, the emotion will have dissipated. Of course, by that time you've been paying attention to something else, you've been back on your breath, but you may like, oh, look at that, the negative emotion is gone. Then you bring your attention back to the breathing again. So that's a little description of what's going on in sitting meditation. You are, first of all, practicing being aware that your attention has left your focal point, your chosen focal point. Number two, you are practicing non-judging, not judging yourself for having the attention wander. And then you're practicing bringing it back, kind of like lifting a muscle, like pulling your attention back to the chosen focal point. And through those three activities, without you focusing on it directly, over time, not necessarily from practice to practice, but over time, you will get stronger. Your attention will be able to hold in a place on a chosen focal point for longer periods of time. It may go from three breaths to five. That's not very encouraging, is it? Or it could go from, you know, three to 10. Don't expect massive jumps in improvement. And one day you may be like, hey, today I'm just in it, and it's great. And the next day you're like, what is wrong with me? I can't hold my attention at all today. And it's just up and down like that. That's a whole nother discussion why that goes up and down. But that's just part of it. So But you just stay faithful to the practice of aware that your attention has wandered. Don't judge yourself for it, or let go. That's better phrased. Let go of the judgment that you've just made regarding yourself, your failure, or success. And then you just put out the effort to bring the attention back. You just go through those motions over and 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 over, and over, over again. And over time, you get stronger. And over time, you get into this and you get better at it and you get more satisfaction. And your brain state, as it gets deeper into concentration, things change and things become more interesting or become more pleasant or become more useful to you. So that's sitting meditation. Well, you can actually do the same thing in the pool or in the water when you're swimming. Now, the wall, if you're swimming in a pool, it's going to be there every 25 yards or 25 meters or 50 meters or whatever. Or it's going to be there. It's going to interrupt your repetitious activity. But every stroke you take is like every breath you take. It's just an object, that an action, a focal point that you can use as a form of meditation. You can use swimming as meditation, or you just happen to use meditation to help you in your swimming. They go either way. And what really helps is to pick a part of your body that you're going to focus on, and then you zoom in on a particular feature there. So I'm going to use the arm as an example in the freestyle stroke. So you can use zooming in and zooming out. I've talked about that in a previous podcast. Zooming in, zooming out with your attention. And so you can zoom in and say every stroke that you take, you're going to focus on the feeling of pressure behind your hand as you are setting the catch and you're holding that grip on the water and you're pulling through and sliding the body past that point. You're just going to keep your attention on the sense of steady pressure on the hand. So stroke, 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 pressure, 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 pressure. And that's just like the breath. Breath going in, breath going out, breath going in, breath going out. And you can hold your attention on there. And then that wall comes up and your turn interrupts it. And then as you take off, you push off and you glide. The moment you take the first stroke, you resume your attention on that focal point. Then you can, after a while, you may notice, hey, after so many lengths, well, let me step back. Maybe after so many strokes, maybe you make it to the next wall and you're like successful holding your attention. But maybe after a few lengths, you notice, my mind's wandering. I need something new, something interesting. Well, you can pick another part of the body and do the exact same thing. Or what you could do is you could zoom out just slightly, one little click, zoom out, and take in the sense of pressure on the palm and the forearm. So you feel the combined surface area, the water interacting with the surface area of your palm and your forearm. And you feel that stroke after stroke after stroke. And then after a few lengths, you can zoom out again and you can take in the feeling of the arm holding its shape while it blends with the torso rotation. So the arm blended with the torso turning. So your attention, you've zoomed out a bit more. You're not focused on such fine detail in one part, but you're taking in a broader range of the body and feeling all of those parts working together in a more general, collective way. And at any moment, you can, if you notice something strange or pleasant or positive or negative, you can zoom in on a particular part and examine that in more detail. Now, bringing back the same skills that we were talking about, the same practice we were talking about in sitting meditation, you've chosen a focal point. Let's say you've chosen to focus on the hand and the forearm together. Feel the steady pressure on that entire surface area. And next thing you know, your attention wandered off. You notice the person swimming in the lane next to you, and you start thinking about that. Then you like shake your head, and you're like, oh, that's right. I'm focused on my stroke. So you bring your attention back to that part of your body and just resume keeping your attention there, stroke after stroke. Now the wall comes up, interrupts it, or you've reached the end of how many lengths you've chosen to hold your attention on that focal point, and now you can switch to another focal point. The idea here is to switch focal points thoughtfully, by intention, not because you just let your mind wander to another point. So this is another part of the discipline, is that you made a choice that, okay, for whatever reason, you're going to focus on this part of the body, this part of the stroke, for a certain amount of time, a certain number of lengths. And so you just work on disciplining yourself to hold that attention on that part. And your attention may wander to another part of the body, and you've become concerned or curious about what's going on there, and you're very tempted to want to, hey, maybe I should think about this now, and that's the part that you need to resist. And you say, no, okay, I chose 5 lengths to focus on my palm. I'm going to finish the 5 lengths, focus on my palm. Now, then I'll turn my attention to this other part of the body, if you have room in your assignment in the pool that day. Sometimes in my mind, I think of swimming, I think of it like a kindergartner teacher in her classroom, and there's all these kids running around, they come to her, teacher, 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 and there's like 5 or 6 kids all raising their hand, da, da, da. Well, the teacher she's not in control of the kids' interest in asking her questions. They pop up their hands and they're kind of shouting for her attention, and she can't pay attention to all of them at once. But what she can do is say, all right, Johnny, you, what is your question? Please, the rest of you be quiet for a moment. Johnny, what's your question? So Johnny asks her and she responds to it. She takes care of the situation. Now she turns, all right, Sally, what's your question? And she turns and gives proper attention to that child's request. And then so on. And she works her way through the crowd of clambering, yelling children asking for her attention. So sometimes I picture me or you in the pool, and that's happening. You came in the pool and you thought you were just going to address one thing, but as you're going along, these other little children start, hey, Matt, what about this? Hey, Matt, what about this? Matt, I want you to pay attention to this now. And I'm like, okay, children, calm down. I'll take care of you one at a time. Actually, I only have room for 4 of you. So I'm gonna choose you, you, and you, and the others, you're gonna have to wait till after recess. So using the analogy, that's part of the discipline of being in the pool and being very intentional about where you're going to hold your attention. Now, it's possible something comes up during your swim that you evaluate, you think, you know what, this is important enough for me to set aside some of the other things that I've chosen, and I'm gonna bring this new thing into the top of the list, and I'm gonna focus on this now. Now, you can do that, but just do it thoughtfully. Just do it with consideration that you have limited time, limited attention. You can only do so many things, so choose the few things that matter the most right now. And then go back into the practice of swimming meditation to be training your attention to hold where you've chosen it, to come back when you lose it, to not judge yourself for failures and successes, to just simply treat it as information, and continue with the process of building your skill, but also building the strength of your attention as you do it. So that's a little discussion there of swimming meditation, how to use it, how to make it better perhaps, how to see the relationship between more formal sitting meditation practice and what we do in the water. Whether you want to regard swimming as meditation or not, the way that we train ourselves to have superior skill and for that skill to hold up under more stressful conditions or more fatigue conditions, this is the way we do it. It's what you pay attention to gets wired in the way that you intend it to be wired. And so if you want to develop skill and keep it and have it get stronger, then whether you want to call it meditation or not, using your attention to and holding your attention and practicing a certain way of managing your attention is going to make your technique and fitness practice so much more effective. All right, that's my little talk, and I look forward to talking with you next time.